We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Obviously, we got a ton to talk about with Michael Irvin this week, with the Niners now just at a place in their season nobody thought that they would get to. 7 wins in 7 weeks of football. That is absurd for a team that some people, said might top out at 7 wins this year. It's a good time to be watching the 49ers, because there's actually a very significant football team doing things week in, week out that are important if you want to go somewhere when this all starts dancing for real in the playoffs. Michael Irvin, 95.7 The Game NFL Insider. You see him on NFL Network, a radio.com insider as well. He is the playmaker, appearing on the Dial Pad guest line, and courtesy of Porsche of Walnut Creek, a Stead automotive dealer. Good to have you on again, Mr. Michael Irvin. How are you, pal?
Man, I'm doing great, man. How are you guys, dude?
We're doing really well. We talked to DJ Jones earlier today, about an hour ago. He got his first ever career sack playing with the Niners this week, and that defensive line was eaten all afternoon. We asked him about Nick Bosa and what he had, you know, who he compared him to. And I would like to play for you. Here's what DJ Jones told us about Nick Bosa.
He's just so special. I haven't seen anybody like him. This past game, we were all on the sideline saying that I've never seen a performance like this. Three sacks, an interception. The return was better than the interception. It's crazy. There's nobody I can compare him to. Of course, his brother. But he's a man of his own.
Michael, when a rookie has vets gawking from the sideline, that's a good thing, right?
Absolutely. And I'm telling you, you know what, I can't even tell you how much you just spoke right there. Such truth, such gospel. When I remember I was sitting in the box with Jerry Jones when, and it's so funny, I promise you, when Dak Prescott first got in the game in with the Rams. They were returning to the Rams, playing the game in L.A., returning to L.A. Dak threw a touchdown to Dez Bryant. And Jerry said, oh, look at that touchdown. Did you see that throw? I said, Jerry, you're looking at the wrong thing. I said, don't look at the throw. Don't look at the touchdown. Look at the sideline. I said, you see the sideline? Everybody was up watching that play, watching that young man. And I said to Jerry then, because he was contemplating bringing in another backup quarterback, I said, hope will always dictate effort. And if you bring in another backup quarterback, you're going to bring in hopelessness to the situation. But when you see all of that, that's hopeful. And everybody will give more effort as long as he's on the field. That's exactly what Nick Bosa is bringing right now to the San Francisco 49ers. When he's on the field, everybody's up watching and looking because he brings hope. And hope will dictate effort. And you see more guys playing above that what they usually play because they're giving more effort because of that hope.
Traditionally, I think players, you know, they hear people talk nicely about them and they kind of let it roll up their back. But when you start hearing it from the people you're playing against, is that the standard? Was that the standard for you, one? And is that the standard for most players? When my contemporaries are telling me that to my face, then I'll buy it.
The people you're playing against and the people that you looked up to all your days as you were playing. Jerry Rice, first time I met Jerry Rice, and I had Jerry Rice in my locker. In my locker in Miami, in my locker even at Dallas. And it was the 91 season. I had won receiver of the year. And the first time I met Jerry Rice, I told this story at an event where I was introducing him a couple months ago in L.A. And the first time I met him, he walked up to me at the Pro Bowl. And he was like, hey, Irv. I said, God almighty, Jerry Rice just called my name. I said, just don't say anything. Make him call you again. Hey, Irv. And I said, I said, hey, what's up? Oh, world, what's up, world? What's up, Chad? He said, oh, I just want to tell you, it was a great competition, great chase. I didn't get you this year, but I will get you next year. I'm already trained. That's why you play. That's why you play. All the guys that Nick Bosa has hooked up to, all the guys that he is playing against, to have those guys acknowledge you, say, you're in the game now. You're in the game of the best boys in this game. Absolutely, that means a great deal to you, man. I'm so happy for Nick, too, because like I told you guys, I watched him in high school at St. Thomas in my high school, and he's playing with my son, and I knew this kid was going to be special, man. He's a hard worker, and he has a motor. You don't usually see people with that kind of a talent have that kind of a motor, but he does. That makes him so special.
So let me just ask you this, Michael. If there was right now a redistribution draft for all the defensive players in football, how high do you think Nick Bosa would go?
Nick Bosa would go very high. Right now, we're starting to talk about Nick Bosa in the same breath as Aaron Donald.
Wow.
You get what I'm saying?
So top three?
Right. And people are starting to talk about now defensive MVP if he stays on this path. And there is nobody in this league that we compare to Aaron Donald that we put in the same breath as Aaron Donald.
I love the way that you give us a breath before you actually say breath. Michael Irvin.
Yeah, just to bring it home so you can not just hear it, but you can feel it, visualize it. It's called in this business, you know, the visceral effect.
This is not an interview. This is a performance, ladies and gentlemen.
Or it's an asthma attack.
No, it could be that, too. Let's get Michael his breathalyzer. Michael Irvin here on 95.7 The Game. What did you think of Emmanuel Sanders' debut? We didn't see a lot of him, but, boy, he was impactful in the end zone and on third down.
Yeah, and I was so happy for Emmanuel Sanders, man. That's one of my favorite dudes in the NFL. You know, he usually comes in with us in the offseason, especially since he's been in Denver, and there was, you know, they were not going anywhere. He came in and did the shows with us, man. He has a bright future beyond football in the TV business. And I knew that his transition would be made easy because the offenses are very similar. You know, the terminology are very similar. And I know that he would be so happy to be in a winning organization now. It's a different atmosphere in the locker room. We talked about this, and you heard him mention it in the interview. How these guys are having fun, man, and they're winning. Can you imagine how happy he is to be leaving a situation that was in Denver, coming to a place like San Francisco now where you're undefeated, you're one of the worst teams in the league, now you're on one of the best teams in the league, you're undefeated, and you see playoffs and a possible Super Bowl in front of you. I'm just so happy it worked out for him.
Speaking of Denver, do you think Joe Flacco was the fourth or fifth person to notice that his neck was hurting?
What do you mean the fourth or fifth person to notice?
Well, he criticizes the coach and the play calling, and the next day, all of a sudden, he's got a neck issue that he can't play on Sunday.
Yeah, okay. I see what you're saying. So who do you think I can't even speak to that because then people start saying, well, Michael says Joe Flacco's quitting on his team and all of that stuff, you know. And whenever, I will tell you this, and we've seen this year with the Jalen Ramsey, there are certain things, there are certain injuries that cannot always be quantified. That you can't always say, okay, you see this on the MRI or you see that. That's a back injury and sometimes a neck injury. You just got to take a person's word that is hurting and sit them down. A back injury and a neck injury. And I'm not saying that Joe's not hurting. I'm just saying that information I know.
Michael, since we're talking about injuries, a very odd situation between the New York Jets and guard Kelechi Osemele. A huge difference in camps. Kelechi literally elects to have surgery. The Jets are fining him, saying that he shouldn't have done that. He should be playing through pain. Where do you stand on that, and how quickly could that divide a locker room?
That's quickly. Because, listen, man, we're seeing now, this is getting crazy. That's the situation that happened with Trent Williams in Washington. you know, there's always the push to get guys back on the football field. And we just talked about this. You see situations like shoulders, all of those other injuries, they think they know more than you are. They think they know more than you are. And this kid said, no, man, I'm hurting. I'm hurting, and I'm going to get the surgery, and I don't care what you guys say. And then they're like, hey, you know, you did that outside, you're on your own. It's a tough situation. But I'll tell you what, you just have to be very careful with that. You have to be very careful. You can lose a locker room, man. You can really lose a locker room. And I think that they are losing their locker room. I know Jamal Adams, and I know Dallas have been trying to get Jamal Adams, and I've talked with them today. And I know people are talking about now leaving the Jets. Trust me. You have to be careful when the medical staff is starting to do things like that and pushing back against players who are hurt.
More to the point, well, to advance the point a little more, how much do free agents immediately just cross teams off their list as a direct result of things like this?
That's exactly what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about right there. Because trust me, that matters. That will matter now. Now, you can always get to a point where you're putting so much money on the table that a guy drops that concern. You know, say, okay, I no longer have that concern because there's just so much money on the table. But when you give an all-out, if all things are equal, and this team is offering this team is offering that becomes the weighing factor to turn someone one way or the other. And that's why you have to be careful. There's no thing that you can do where you say, hey, this is just an isolated situation and it only affects this issue. Everything you do will come back somehow, some way.
Tangentially related to the subject of injuries, obviously a short week for the Niners this week. You, when you were playing, didn't have regular Thursday games, but you did this pretty much once a year playing on Thanksgiving, right? So how much does that affect your body? How much more dangerous do you think it is to try that sort of fast turnaround? And is this something that you think the NFL should maybe not be doing safety-wise?
Well, that's a great question. I absolutely love Thursday Night Football. I love the idea that we start the weekend with football and end it on Monday night with football. I guess that's me because I'm a football drunk or football alcoholic, whatever you want to call it. You know what I'm saying? That's just me. But it is tough on your body now to one degree because it's a quick turnaround. But even that week that you do the quick turnaround, what you try to do is pull over some things that you had in the game plan the week previous. And you can stick in the game plan for that Thursday night game. There's no real padded practice Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. You know what I mean? So you really get days off. And then when you turn around after that Thursday night game, because it is hard to get back up for that game, because you're really just coming out of your soreness, boy, you get to a good 10-day break. And I really enjoyed that 10-day break. Mm-hmm. I mean, let me tell you something. After that Thursday game, well, we got drunk as a skunk. It was like, hey, it's okay. We could be drunk. You know, usually after Sunday's game, you didn't have your few, but we still have to show up and watch some film Monday and then be back out there Tuesday again. You know what I mean? So it kind of turns around quickly. But that Thursday game, oh, my God, we all got drunk and a little skunk on that Thursday game. Kidding, man. I mean, we had 10 days. You know, and you could go tell you, hey, take Friday off. I'll see you, you know, on the weekend, come in and do some things on your own, and if you won't watch the film, so at what point you're arguing about it? Yeah, we had two around this week, but right after the game, you're like, yeah, that was great.
Everybody loves a three-day weekend. Everybody loves a three-day weekend.
Especially when you're pouring it on and drinking it up.
That explains another reason why you are a football drunk.
That's why I am a football drunk. You're right. Which means I just consume the game. I love the game. I am a football drunk.
What's the best Halloween costume you ever wore in your life?
Oh, man. You know, I think probably my Batman costume. I had a Batman costume, but then I also had a cowboy costume on a couple years ago when we did it, you know, and played a cowboy. And good thing is, people said, "Man, what are you, a cowboy?" I said, "Yeah, I'm a yippee-yay cowboy, but I am also a real cowboy." You know what I mean? So probably I would give it my cowboy uniform since it works both ways.
How many times have you said yippee-ki-yay in your life?
not many, man. But if I count the one I just gave you, probably four or five times total.
That's three more than I'd
figured. Wow, I feel honored to have received one of those yippee-ki-yays. I'm curious, back to football, as much as I'm interested in further Halloween costume discussion, there's two undefeated teams in the NFL right now. Let's say the Niners played the Patriots this weekend. Who would you be picking to win?
Whew. It'd be hard to pick against the Patriots because Tom Brady's there. But when you look at this man right now and you see 1-2, and let me tell you something. I'm just flat. It'd be hard to pick against the Patriots with Tom Brady there. But you have the formula to beat the Patriots, and you have the tool to beat the Patriots. In order to beat the Patriots, you have to get to Tom Brady. You have to throw off his clock. You have to make sure Tom is getting rid of the ball way before he wants to get rid of it, and for lack of a better way of saying it, making sure Tom sees ghosts. And you can do that with that defensive line. Right, go back and look at that Buffalo film. Tom was throwing balls in the ground because they were getting to Tom. They were getting to him. You're like, man, look at this. Look at what happens when you get to Tom Brady. And San Francisco can do that. Now, you're going to have to produce all day, every day, because he's not going to stop. And you can do that with the run game you have. You're going to have to be physical, take the air out of the ball. That means take downs and series and drives away from Tom Brady, and by running the ball and taking your time and get to Tom Brady. And you have the tools to do that. Now, having the tools and putting them out your toolbox and operating are two different things.
Michael Irvin, why is Trent Williams ending his holdout?
I hope he's going to get some of that money. It's $13 million a year that he makes this year. And he just lost, six and a half? He just lost 6.5, so he says, let me come back and get this last 6.5, even though I do not want to be here. Now, that's another guy. You may hear about a bad back coming up here pretty soon. I'm just saying. I'm not suggesting anybody's doing anything, but I'm just saying you may hear a bad back situation coming out of that situation where he comes and he still collects his money, but, man, I don't know if you see him on the football field.
As we get ready for yet another Thursday night game here, we have to all admit we haven't done a lot of studying on the Arizona Cardinals. What kind of year is Kyler Murray having? What kind of season do you think Cliff Kingsbury's having as he adjusts to life in the NFL?
I was saying this to people the other day about rookie quarterbacks, and everybody, you know, we're in this instant world. That's why I guess Instagram and all of that stuff is so big, because we're in a world that's about instant gratification and satisfaction right now. And the reality is, any young quarterback, especially a first-year quarterback, his road to greatness at the quarterback position is never paid smoothly. It's going to be paid with peaks and valleys. He has to manage the peak, and he has to endure and come out on the other end of the valley. And Kyler Murray is no different. Now, Kyler Murray has done some pretty incredible things in his young career. You know, throwing the ball around, made some incredible plays, some exciting plays. But he's had some peaks and valleys. And you just got to make sure while you're playing him that he's having more valleys than peaks. But I've enjoyed this first year with him and with Cliff Kingsbury in this thing. It's so funny, you know, they whatever they call this new offense, it's all the stuff, it's all redone. This is the silver stretch or the run and shoot. That's all it is. They put a new name on it in a different generation, and they call her. It's the same thing. It's four wide receivers and one running back, and we're throwing the ball all over the field. That was the run and shoot. That was the silver stretch that Detroit did back in a year. It's the same thing. We're just putting new names on it. But Kyler Murray is running it pretty well in his early for as young as he is. I think he's running it pretty well.
The 49ers and Cardinals not only play Thursday, but they play in 2 weeks. How much, when you're preparing for a team that you're going to see twice in that short amount of time, how much is held back for the second time, and how much is basically we're going to throw everything at them, and then the second time we play them, they won't know what they're getting? What do most coaches do, and what do most players hope most coaches will do?
Well, here's the thing. When you're playing someone that's such a different offense than you're facing in the NFL, there's no such thing as holding back. You just got to make sure you get the win. The great thing about what you just said is you can have turnover because it's so close. They're so close. These games will be so close. You play them Thursday, and you get them again in a couple weeks. So you can still have some carryover from what you learn about this new system, about this different system, as you get ready to play them the second time around. That's the best thing for San Francisco facing Arizona twice in the next couple of weeks.
Michael, it's always so good to talk to you, man. It's a pleasure. You're so honest and forthright about your career, your experiences. One final question for you today. You were talking about players being traded, and that's just a reality of the league, and sometimes the rumors get back to you and you get upset about it. Sometimes they don't. In your career, did the Dallas Cowboys ever try to trade you?
I was in a contract negotiation with Jerry Jones, and I was sitting in on all the negotiations. And Jerry and I, we were in an impasse. I think Jerry Rice was the highest paid, and I wanted to be the highest paid at the time. And we were at an impasse, and Jerry, and the rumors that came out, and I said, I don't mind being traded. I said, I understand if it doesn't work. And it must be trading me to Cincinnati. For Cincinnati, Carl Pickens at the time was in Cincinnati, to do a swap. And I said to Jerry, you know what? Everywhere I set my foot in the sand, I left a footprint of greatness. I walked away with championships. I don't mind seeing if I can make that happen in Cincinnati. I'm just negotiating. I don't want to go to Cincinnati. I'm negotiating like he's negotiating. Then he finally broke down and said to me, Michael, let me tell you, this is how I see it. When I look at Magic Johnson and the Lakers, I say, what is Magic without the Lakers? And then I say, what is the Lakers without Magic Johnson? And he said, when I see you, I see the same thing. What is Michael Irvin without the Dallas Cowboys? And what is Dallas Cowboys without Michael Irvin? Basically, Michael, what I'm saying to you, if a bomb hits Valley Ranch today, that's where we practice at, and blew everything up, when the smoke clears, you and me, baby, we're going to still be right here. We might as well hammer out this deal right now. I said, This dude is crazy. Dude, let me tell you, that's a true story. I said, why are we going through all of this?
It's a fantastic
deal. Why are you bringing all that up?
It's a fantastic story. It's an incredible Jerry Jones impression you just gave us. That was amazing.
That's how he is. He's a funny dude. But I love him. I do love him.
Thank you, Michael. Always a pleasure, man.
Always great talking to you guys.
Michael Irvin, NFL Network.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.